producers preview People of Earth TBS alien comedy.
God doesn't exist, but aliens probably do, says Minister.
NASA alien cover-up claims after space agency switches off ISS live feed for good.
Plus, a Wausau sighting, our picks, and more on this episode of the Alien Invasion Podcast.
You are listening to Alpha Geek Radio.
The following is a production of Galactic Netcasts. It's Thursday, August 4th, 2016. Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 190, a production of Galactic Netcasts. I'm Dave Nelson, along with Brad Ludwig and Anessa Moyens. Hello, you two.
Hello.
Howdy.
So, two episodes in a row, 2 weeks in a row. Yay!
Oh, it's like some kind of record.
We're making progress. How are you guys doing, by the way?
Good. Little burpy.
We just had our dinner, so... We're going to be really classy and try not to burp in the mics. How's that?
Well, if it happens, it happens. I'm not going to fault you for it.
Thanks, Dave.
I'm sure people listening right now with their earbuds in are going, why are they keep burping in my ear?
That's gross.
That's terrible.
All right. So thanks to Monkey Warhol, by the way, an electronic musician from Minneapolis for providing our new intro music. The song is called Alien Syndrome. You can find it on their SoundCloud channel. You can also check out their brand new video for a song called Lovely Lady. Just search for Monkey Warhol on YouTube and SoundCloud.
Let's hear it from Monkey Warhol.
All right. Well-deserved applause for Monkey Warhol.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this is the show where we talk about aliens, beings from elsewhere in the galaxy, not of this Earth, and their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, real life, and many other areas. The show is divided into three sections, the news, the sightings, feature, and our picks for the week. And what the hell, let's just start the show with the news.
In the news.
I don't know why I explain how the show works, honestly. We should just...
Well, if you get a new listener...
Yeah, we could have somebody new listening right meow.
Well, hopefully we do. And in case that person is listening, thank you for tuning in.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Anessa, what do you got there, buddy?
God doesn't exist, but aliens probably do, says Minister. I know, right?
Sacrilegious.
In an extraordinary interview, John Halligan has likened some pro-life campaigners with jihadi terror group ISIS and admits he would absolutely break the law to help someone close to him die by suicide if they were in pain. The Independent Alliance TD for Waterford also told Hot Press magazine that he favors Simon Coveney as the next leader of Fine Gael. This story comes from Ireland, by the way. So, and we'll get to the aliens here in a bit. He argues that prostitution should be regulated so that, quote, lonely men have an outlet for sex and that people caught smoking a, quote, bit of hash should not be brought to court. Mr. Halligan is the Minister of State for Training, Skills, and Innovation, working alongside Richard Brutton and Mary Mitchell O'Connor. He describes himself as an atheist who lost his virginity at 15 and dropped out of school at 16. The father of three is separated from his wife, but has a partner, Elaine, for more than 20 years. In the interview, Mr. Halligan says that he doesn't believe a God could exist because nobody could create a world raging with war, murders, and rapes. Quote, we've been asked to believe that, boom, Adam and Eve appeared on Earth. And then we all came from Adam and Eve, he said. I don't think there's any God. I know for a fact there's not. However, he believes other species exist in the universe, but the human may be, quote, so unsophisticated or moronic that they are just, quote, passing us off.
Donald Trump.
Mr. Halligan adds that humans need to get over our own self-importance and realize that in a short time, the Earth will be gone. The solar system will be destroyed. Our sun will burn up and burn out and destroy all the planets, he said. The minister recently placed himself in direct conflict with his government partners in Fine Gael by insisting that he be allowed to vote in favor of a Mick Wallace bill that would pave the way for abortion, despite the program for government committing to a citizens' assembly on the issue. So, lost my spot.
I can finish it if you want.
Oh, got it. So speaking to Hot Press about that controversy, he said it's inevitable the Eighth Amendment will be repealed.
Okay.
I heard a voice. Okay. I'm sorry. Like, there was audio playing in my ear and I didn't know what was going on.
I was trying to post something to Facebook that we were on live right now. And yeah, that's what happened.
Damn it, Brad.
We'll fix it in post.
So anyway, he's received threats on his stance on abortion. And I'm going to assume that he'll probably end up with some angry emails or letters or phone calls about stating that, you know, he doesn't believe that there is a God and that aliens do exist. Well, he probably won't get emails about the aliens do exist, but the other one, yeah, probably. So anyway, and that comes from the independent.ie.
See, so. Okay, the headline of that story is a little misleading because here in North America, our politicians are not called ministers. Well, I take that back. In Canada, there's minister of, like the cabinet positions, there's ministers. But most of North America do not have ministers. So I was thinking it's like a religious minister.
Oh, no, my first thought was prime minister.
Oh, yeah.
So, but no, he's not the prime one. He's further on down the ladder.
Okay.
So
he's a tertiary minister?
Yes. So anyway, I just thought it was interesting that a political figure would come out and say that, you know, aliens, you know, he feels that they exist and that they're not coming here because we're twats.
Maybe he's privy to information that we aren't. Maybe he knows something because he's part of the government, right? So he may be in secret meetings.
That's true. He might have access to special documents, or he's totes BFFs with some reptilians over in Ireland.
Yeah, because they're all in charge, right? The reptilians, they're the world leaders.
Yep. So he's just one that's tired of hiding it.
No, I could really understand his frustration, though. I mean, because of the whole violence and just nothing but bad things in the world. Like if believing in a religion is a stretch, right? Because it's almost fantastical. It's fantasy when you think about it.
It's the same thing as aliens, though, too.
Yeah, but they're biological creatures, more or less. We think they are, at least.
Well, there's some that are supposed to be like energy beings.
Yeah.
Which could be also compared to God if he's an energy or she or it is an energy type being. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, it goes back to my pick the other day. It's like people criticize others for their religion, and they criticized this lady named Moya, I believe, in Ireland. I just noticed 2 weeks in a row, Irish stories. Anyway, so they criticized her for her belief with the Raelian movement. But at the same time, it's no different than any other religion, if you think about it.
Or, wait a second, maybe the original religions were based on aliens coming to Earth. Okay, follow me on this. That morphed into just beings like spiritual beings, right? And now we're talking about aliens, so it's coming back around full circle. That's my theory. Blew your mind, didn't I?
Now I have to clean up.
All right, real quick before we get into our second story and before Anessa takes the broom out, don't forget you can follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. And there's two very easy ways of finding us on all those social networks. Either just search for Galactic Netcasts or go to our website, gncasts.com, and click on the corresponding logos in the upper right-hand corner and watch the magic happen. All right. Producers preview People of Earth, TBS alien comedy. And I didn't really know much about this until within the last couple weeks. It kept on popping up in my Google searches, and I finally said, you know what, I'm going to talk about it this week. And it was a good week, too, because they revealed a whole bunch of stuff at the Television Critics Association Summer Press Tour. It sounds interesting. It's a comedy, but it also sounds like they're going to take the subject of aliens and alien abductees kind of serious. So let me just tell you a little bit about this. In this show, the aliens are intelligent life forms who also have their own circumstances and their own problems with their friends and their coworkers. Greg Daniels told reporters at the recent TCA summer press tour. Greg Daniels, sound familiar? Anybody?
No.
Seriously, anybody?
Got nothing.
Okay. The American version of The Office. He was the producer for that show.
Oh.
I didn't watch it.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Dave.
Wah, wah.
But I've heard the theme song quite a bit, thanks to Alex.
Yes, Alex loves the theme song.
I can't believe you never watched that show. Where have you been?
It's not my kind of humor.
Oh, it's pretty good. It's pretty funny. You should give it a try sometime.
I know. How does it compare to the British one?
Oh, the British one. Oh.
The
British one was the original one, so it's got to be the best. Oh.
Hipster.
Actually, I've only seen a couple episodes of each, so it's okay.
Okay, so let's get back to this story. This show, this particular show, People of Earth, centers on a skeptical journalist who investigates a support group for those who have allegedly had alien encounters. The more he examines their bizarre claims, the more he realizes the truth in their stories and possibly even signs that indicate he also was abducted by aliens. So this was inspired by reading an article about an actual support group for those who believe they've been abducted by aliens. Creator David Jenkins wrote the pilot with the intent of also focusing closely on the people on Earth as much as it addresses the aliens and the sci-fi elements of the series. This really happens. There's a bunch of them. If you go on Facebook, there's Facebook groups and threads for people talking about these things. It seems like they're reasonable people. They're realtors. They lose their keys in the couch, Jenkins says. I like the tension of that. That seemed like a good place to start a show. And because of the show's portrayal of aliens, it didn't take long for the executive producers to face questions at this conference about the budget and just how they'll depict the sci-fi elements of the show. And they went on to say, well, I think that we're doing a lot of practical stuff and we're trying to use people's imagination and do it well when we do it, Daniel said. One of the big words of the show is that it's not camp. It's a very sincere effort at making a character comedy that has cool, interesting sci-fi elements to it. So far, the budget has been sufficient. Going forward, Jenkins said, the comedy will be a more serialized half hour with more reveals about the alien life forms as the series goes along. People of Earth premieres October 31st on TBS. Sounds interesting. Sounds like a comedy, but also... there was more to the article I didn't include in the stuff that I wrote or read that said that they're going to take the subject matter of people being abducted very seriously. They're not going to make fun of that part because people are really, I mean, people believe that this has happened to them. I think that's cool that they're going to treat it with respect like that.
Right. Because, I mean, it would essentially be the same thing if you made a comedy and poked fun at somebody else that had experienced a traumatic experience.
Mm-hmm.
And just made the show about laughing at people who were assaulted or, you know, in a terrible plane crash or something and survived. But, you know, like things like that, you know. So it's nice that they're being sensitive to the individuals who've experienced this trauma, just kind of using it as a basis. And then, like, if there were aliens, this is how they could potentially be.
Yeah. And the comedy is going to come out of the situation not making fun of the people for believing they're being abducted or were abducted by aliens. And also, like you said, they're also going to deal with the aliens. And it sounds like they're going to portray the aliens as almost as boring as we are. Like their lives are just as banal. Banal was a word they used in the story, as ours, our lives are. So this sounds kind of interesting. I'm looking forward to checking it out. I hope that that's available here. I don't know if we have TBS in Canada. I'll have to look into that.
Interesting.
Okay. And speaking of banal, normal, everyday, day-in, day-out stuff, just like you, Galactic Netcasts has bills that need to get paid. Right, Brad?
Absolutely, they do.
You hold the purse strings here at the network, so you you understand. You're the money man.
I am.
Where most people have rent and utilities every month, we have the website and audio hosting. So you could help us out with that. Please consider donating to either our Patreon account or doing some shopping. And at the same time, a little money comes our way. What you do is you go to gncasts.com/support. That's gncasts.com/support. And there's two links there. There's the link to the Patreon campaign where you can give as little as $1 a month, or the link to the Amazon search page where you type in your search, you do your shopping. As long as you go through that link, like 3% comes back to, I think it depends on what you're buying, but like it's, I think it averages about 3% of what the money that you give to Amazon, 3% will go to us, which will also help us out. So please consider doing either of those, gncasts.com/support. All right, Brad, bringing up the rear as you always do with the final story in the news section.
All right. We teased it earlier, but here it is. There is an alien cover-up being done by NASA.
What?
Yes. And it's all because the space agency switched off their ISS live feed for good.
Hang on. I need something here. All right.
Exactly. Now, NASA has been accused of its biggest alien cover-up yet. After it emerged, it is cutting off live feed cameras from the International Space Station permanently. The U.S. Space Agency has announced it is no longer going to live stream the cameras, which look 250 miles downward towards Earth and out into space via the internet. Now, conspiracy theorists have immediately claimed an attempted cover-up. It comes after a host of UFOs have been captured on the streams by alien chasers and uploaded to YouTube. Many claim UFOs are visiting Earth and NASA, of course, along with world governments, are aware but are desperate to keep the truth from the general public amid fears it will lead to the end of religion and the rule of law.
Okay.
They claim... Oh, I'm sorry.
One more time. Okay.
They claim NASA was routinely shutting down the live streams when a UFO would appear, and has now chosen to axe the camera feeds to avoid having to keep doing this. I was leaving a space just in case.
Sorry. Slow on the uptake.
That's all right. And of course, this comes from UFO blogger Scott C. Waring, as all the things like this. He is a UFO person at the ultimate level.
UFO Sightings Daily, is that the website he works at?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
And so he supports the conspiracy, and he posted an article headlined NASA Says No More Live Feed from ISS to Hide UFOs from the Public. And he's quoted as saying, "The ending of this live feed is yet another example of why NASA is not to be trusted in telling us the truth. There is really no other reason to do this."
None at all. There couldn't possibly be another reason why they'd shut off the feed.
Like cost or whatever.
Yeah.
NASA has fueled the conspiracy by offering edited weekly highlights from the cameras and selected footage to those who are interested. The announcement was buried in a press release about new video it will be uploading from next month from inside its Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas, the ISS, and other hubs.
I heard that. Johnson's pretty big.
I hear it's enormous.
Mm-hmm.
And this story comes to us from the express.co.uk. So there you go.
It's so unlikely. It's so unlike me to say a joke like that.
Brad jumped in right before I was going to say something.
That Johnson is huge.
No, interesting story. And I saw a similar story before this one broke a couple weeks ago, I think, where the code word for aliens or for an extraterrestrial craft was revealed. Like There was a nervous person on the ISS radioing back to the Johnson Space Center using the code word. It was just some word or some phrase that didn't really come into what didn't make sense. You know, just you know how code words work, right? Do I have to explain that? I was starting to explain code words. Why didn't one of you guys stop me?
Because
I was thinking Johnson's and safety words and not it's, NASA.
It's basically what it is, a safety word, right? It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It is now.
Our safety word is Big Johnson.
Huge Johnson. Yeah.
That's a mouthful.
Whang.
All right. I think it's time that we move on, okay?
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape. Huge. Just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
I can see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was almost circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
All right, I'm super excited about this sighting this week because it's in your guys' town.
I know. I was looking for sightings, and I saw plenty from, like, Malaysia and Florida and all sorts of other places that weren't the Midwest. And then I came across a website called UFOWisconsin.com. And I was like, ooh, let me check this out. And I found a sighting that I wanted to talk about. Ta-da! So the sighting takes place on August 2nd, 2001 in Wausau, Wisconsin, which is in Marathon County. And the source is from the National UFO Reporting Center, and the details of the incident: UFO spotted by over 500 people in central to northern Wisconsin.
Okay, hey, hang on 1 second. Where's this from? Where is this report from again?
It says the National UFO Reporting.
No, where did this take place?
Wausau, Wisconsin.
Never heard of it.
Lies.
Liar.
So, anyway, I'm not sure who actually wrote the story, wrote down the incident, if it was perhaps the person who maintains the site or someone else. I don't recall it ever saying, but it's kind of written in like the first person, at least at the beginning. So I'm just going to read it as written. I'm reporting this in case no one else has. On Thursday, August 2nd, 2001, a Wausau, Wisconsin-based radio station was flooded with between 550 and 650 phone calls from listeners who claimed to have seen a large green light that would streak across the sky, hover, then appear to crash. Several people claimed to have also thought this was a plane crash, and so they reported the sighting to several police and sheriff's departments.
Okay, can I just interject with one thing? I have a question for Brad.
Yes.
Was that WSAU? Do you know? Were you working at the radio station for the radio company at that time? 2001.
2001, yes. I would have been in the web department working in the corporate building.
Okay,
yes.
But you didn't hear of this? Okay. I'm sorry, Anessa. Go ahead.
Okay.
I was just curious.
Please! Look at a map of Wisconsin. He put please in all caps. Callers who reported this, and then he put in parentheses, remember there were over 550 of them, were calling from Wausau, Wisconsin, Wisconsin Rapids. I'm not going to repeat Wisconsin after everything. So, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Bowler, Nakusa, Clover, Stevens Point, in the middle of the state, all the way up to the northern part of the state, Minocqua, Phillips, and Rhinelander. people reporting to stop in the middle of the highways because this thing hovered 30 to 50 feet above the ground.
Wow.
Police departments verified also seeing this and also receiving numerous phone calls reporting a so-called downed plane. Meteorologists have suggested the possibility that this could be ball lightning. Ball lightning is one of the rarest natural phenomena. And if that's what this is, it seems strange that it was seen by that many people. How could something so rare travel from the middle of the state of Wisconsin, basically along Highway 51, up to the northern part of the state? Does ball lightning hover over Dodge Durangos? The object was reported as being extremely huge and very bright green. One woman said that as she looked at it through the small window of her car, the one that is next to the large window that you would actually roll down, the green glow filled the entire window. It was said to have a sort of red tail that could be seen as it was moving. Those who saw it hover closer to the ground said it was so bright that it didn't appear to have any shape, except that looking into it, the center appeared black, surrounded by a blinding green glow, with evident lights at the bottom perimeter of it. It would move slowly, flicker, and stop, drop in altitude, then appear to crash or land. People in several cities reported seeing it crash or land or disappear into the trees in several towns.
This is a fascinating story.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you, UFOWisconsin.com.
I mean,
maybe I'll go donate whenever I get paid.
Just the detail in these reports and the sheer number of people that have reported it. I mean, I'm surprised that we haven't ran into this story before.
Yeah, I am too. I was really surprised at just how many people, because, you know, a lot of the stories you might get one, maybe three or four witnesses, and that's just because they all happen to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And just getting several hundred people to witness this and call in and question it. I'm just surprised I haven't heard anything about it or seen anything in prior searches.
Did you do like a follow-up search to see if it appeared anywhere else?
I didn't get a chance to. I kind of wondered if maybe it just fizzled out. It was going north, so maybe it went to Canada. Or it took a right and went to the UP.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Youpers.
The youpers.
They probably were like, ah, it's nothing. We see this stuff all the time.
We see this all the time. So, no, I just thought it was a really interesting sighting and wanted to share. So, ta-da!
Cool. No, I would love to know more about that. It seems like something that would get a little bit more covers in it than just the one website.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that it would have been, if it would have been reported in the local paper.
Yeah. I think you guys should go to the Marathon County Library and go through their microfiche.
Microfiche. Microfishing.
I just wanted to say microfiche. All right.
That's where they have the tiny fish, right?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Thank you, Inessa.
That's French.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Feedback. We would love to hear what you think of us. No matter what it is, good, bad, ugly, let us know how you feel about us. And there's many ways to leave that feedback. You can write us aliens@gncasts.com. You know, we don't have a physical address. Like somebody could write a letter to us. We should get a P.O. box or something like that. I don't know.
I didn't have to check
does
it.
Does that cost money?
I think, yes, it does.
Okay.
I think that on our webpage, the address, the physical address that's given is mine.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Ours.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Hang on. Sorry.
Okay. Go ahead.
Going back. I did another quick Google search, just like Wausau UFO sighting 2001. And on ufology.patrickgross.org, he's got something there that says MUFON Sean Schussler, sorry, I'm probably saying that wrong, reports that some 300 people called WIFC, local radio personality Tony Bruschi.
Oh, God.
Claiming that they had witnessed a mysterious green light or blue light floating over Wausau.
You've had experiences with this guy before there, Brad?
No comment?
He's a total douchebag.
All right, he's got comment. So WIFC program director Danny Wright has provided MUFON with a CD of calls indicating nearly 500 calls. They all saw a green or blue light moving north really low in the sky. It says, hi, this is Tina in Anago, one caller said. I saw it too at 11:20 p.m. moving north. When I first saw it, it was almost white, then it was bluish green. No one can explain why 500 people from Stevens Point to Minocqua phoned a radio station to report the light. I'd say that was probably the International Space Station, said Arnie Nelson, former director of the planetarium at Wausau West High School. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it, but that's about the timing it would be and the brightness. The ISS orbits 250 miles above Earth, and its brightness varies with its path and weather conditions. According to www.heavens-above.com, the ISS passed over Wausau moving northeast at about 10:30 p.m. thanks to State Director Chad Lewis and Nicholas D. Rossler, Assistant State Director, and the Wausau Daily Herald.
But the reports makes it sound like it's a lot brighter than the ISS would be. Like it looked like it was landing or crashing. That's what the report said.
Right. And I'm kind of wondering if it was just that far up north in the horizon that it looks like it's landing.
Okay.
You know, setting maybe. So I don't know. Typically it gets really bright when it's overhead and then it tends to fade out as it's going lower on the horizon.
Okay.
It only lasts a couple minutes or so as it crosses from one end to the other. And just depending on how the sunlight hits it, it might like brighten up for a bit, like at the angle. So
I guess we'll never know.
It could be, but no, I think it's an interesting story. And we did find more along with names that are legit.
Yeah, this sighting is the most, of any sighting that we've ever done. We actually, like, Brad knows people in this sighting, which is amazing.
I know. I'm like, it's local. There's people that we know exist and they're legit. Kinda. There's that. It's really interesting that, you know, I happened to find this story.
Well, good job. Very good job. Woo-hoo. All right.
So all right. Now we know a little bit more. It could have been the ISS, but you can call and let us know or send us an email and be like, hey, I totally disagree.
Yeah. Thanks for getting us back on track with the feedback there.
You're welcome.
aliens@gncasts.com or our voicemail number is 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966.
The Sci-Fi Survival Guide is a podcast like you've never heard before. It is part of the Galactic Netcasts, but that is where the similarities end. It's a sort of audio feast, a theatre of the mind. You can find out more by going to www.gncasts.com/survive. Maybe you will find out how to survive a nuclear explosion, or maybe when the hordes of zombies come knocking at your door. Each month, we will take a popular science fiction scenario, and I will tell you how to survive. Be prepared at gncasts.com/survive.
All right, time on the Alien Invasion podcast where we talk about picks and warnings. These are things that we have watched, we have listened to, we have read, we have played, all related to aliens, extraterrestrials, and we rate it on a flying saucer system of 1 to 5. And my wife and I are four episodes, I think, into Stranger Things, Brad. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that you... So don't give away too much. Don't be too spoilery about
it. I haven't seen
it
yet, so he's not going to.
I'm going to do as much of a spoiler-free review as
I'm going to space out now, so just in case.
So there you go.
Okay.
So here we go, since I'm up first. Stranger Things. You probably heard a bit about it on the internet. It's been very well received. And the things about it that people have really kind of been interested in is it is a story that takes place in 1983. And it's very interesting that, one, that they picked that time period, but two, they've tried to be so true to the 80s.
They do such
the
a music, good
job. The clothing, the speech, you know, the slang phrases and stuff like that are all of that era. So you really kind of feel like you're in that. Now, I can say that because I grew up in the 80s.
Me too.
Yes, you and I were very aware of what was happening in 1983 in that particular time period. So folks who may have been born in 1980 may have gotten some, and this, I'm not necessarily poking fun at you, but there are some things about the show that they might not pick up on. And one of those is we're still in the Cold War at that point. And the things that are going on, people are still talking about the Russians. People are still, you know, this is still a thing where you might, we'd laugh it off now. Well, not so much anymore, but in the 90s, it wouldn't have been that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. Early 2000s. This has a number of tips of the hat to Stephen King movies, to Spielberg films, and it's at its core. And that's the wonderful thing about it. It's not just a movie or a short run TV show, because there's eight chapters is how they kind of break it down. And it's not a story of just weird things happen. At its core, it is, for a lot of the main characters, it's a coming of age story, which is where the parallel's been drawn with the movie Stand By Me. And actually, they do have a shot in there, which it's just like, it feels like it's directly lifted from Stand By Me.
What, when they're walking down the railroad tracks?
Down the railroad tracks,
yep.
Yeah. Yep. And if you watch and if you've seen a lot of the movies or things from that era, you can really kind of pick up on the tips of the hat that they did in how they shot things and how they... how character interactions and certain things like that, you can just kind of point and go, oh, that's from this, that's from that. So it really feels true to that. Obviously, I'm talking about this on the alien invasion. The big thing about this is, and we know this from the teasers, somebody goes missing. And it's the thing that starts to drive this story forward. Now, obviously, because I'm talking about this, there's got to be an alien link to it somewhere. And there is. But that's not entirely what the story is. It's a part of the story, but it doesn't drive the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of other interesting things that happen. And a lot of that is the character interactions. You see relationships build. Relationships kind of fall apart. And we have two stars from the 80s films. We have Matthew Modine and we have Winona Ryder. Mm-hmm. And it's really kind of wonderful to have those two actors in this particular piece. And they're kind of on opposite sides of the spectrum of the story. So you do get to see a bit of both of those characters throughout the whole 8-episode arc. So the other really nice thing about this is it explains there's a scientific thing that happens that is explained to you like you were a child, and it doesn't belittle it, but it gives you the rules for how this works, for how...
Oh, I know what scene you're talking about. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And it's very, when it's explained to you, you go, oh, okay. So you have definite rules, you have explained them, and you haven't wrapped it up in all sorts of technological, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Is that
blah.
The science teacher? that explains that?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He explains it very much similar to how the Doctor would explain something on Doctor Who, I thought.
Yeah, I would give you that. Or Doc Brown.
Okay, yeah.
You know, or something like that. And it's truly wonderful. So I highly recommend Stranger Things. And not just because I'm from the 80s. It's a great character study. You see every character gets a good bit of time to develop throughout these 8 episodes.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's, even though it's an ensemble cast and there's especially, you know, a small group of kids that interact a bit, but they all get a fair amount of time to actually feel like they're not cardboard cutouts of characters. Mm-hmm. They actually feel like well-developed, well-rounded characters.
And so, you know, it's amazing too, because on shows, on series, on regular network TV that have a full season of, what, 23 episodes, a lot of times those characters don't get nearly as developed as these characters have in 8 episodes. I'm amazed at how well they're developed and how fleshed out the story is, and just a few, like a mini, the mini series that it is.
Yep.
I also liked the theme, the intro.
Yes.
And in fact, the font they use is the same font that was used on a lot of things back, not a lot of things, but a few like iconic shows and movies from the 80s.
Yeah, it really feels like, it reminds me of the font and the look of Christine, mm-hmm. from the film Christine.
It's got that, the sound to it too.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, even though, you know, this is obviously a newer production, they in post, when they put in the effects and stuff, they actually added like a bit of grain over all of the video, so it feels a little bit aged.
Hmm.
Just a little bit. You barely notice it.
Interesting. I'll have to look yeah, for that next time when we watch the next episode.
So there you go. Stranger Things. Highly recommend it. And you should give it a shot.
How many flying saucers?
I give it 5.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That might be our first 5 out of 5.
That is my first 5 out of 5. Yes.
All right. Cool. All right, so my pick this week is The Real History of Science Fiction, episode number 3, Invasion. Now, this was a documentary miniseries from, I want to say, 2013, and I seem to remember us talking about it possibly on this podcast or one of the other Galactic Netcast shows. And it was produced by the BBC, but I think it was distributed on another cable network or cable channel at the time. But you can watch it on Netflix right now. At least I think it's on Canadian Netflix. You guys will have to check to see if it's available on American Netflix. I'm not sure. So basically it is what it says it is, The Real History of Science Fiction. It breaks down the genre into a number of parts, including space travel, robots, I think, or was it classified as artificial intelligence? Whatever. The basic tenets, and you'll laugh when I mention somebody coming up that was in it. The basic tenets of science fiction are broken down into each individual episode. I believe there's 4 of them. And I'll just read you the description from the show itself. What if aliens landed on Earth? Much of science fiction explores the moments of first contact. What will people do when the aliens land? From H.G. Wells pioneering the War of the Worlds to Independence Day, Men in Black, and District 9, Invasion deals with our fears of alien invasions of Earth. David Tennant, see what I did there?
Bam.
Explains the appeal of Doctor Who's Daleks and Cybermen, while John Carpenter and Chris Carter explore the rich appeal of the paranoia fueled by hidden aliens with The Thing and The X-Files. It also asks, what if the monsters were our own creation? With the aid of rarely seen animation tests, Phil Tippett takes us behind the scenes in the creation of the dinosaurs of Jurassic Park. But not all invasions are hostile. P. Peter Coyote and Richard Dreyfuss discuss the creation of Spielberg's spellbinding classics E.T., The Extraterrestrial, and Close Encounters of the Third Kind. There is more than one kind of invasion. And it's a pretty cool documentary series. I loved it. It's the formula that most good documentaries do, where they have all these like actors and producers and directors and writers from these various movies and TV shows come on in a panel-like setting. They'll show the clips, they'll have narration, they'll explain what the movie was and how it fit into the whole genre. But it's very well put together. And that's pretty much all I have to say. So if you can get a chance to watch it, you guys might want to check to see if it's on American Netflix, maybe while I'm talking, just to make sure that you are able to watch it in America. Can one of you guys call up America?
Yep.
Okay. It's called The Real History of Science Fiction. Let me know when you find it. They had some pretty amazing people. I'm trying to remember who else they had. They had Shatner, William Shatner. They had some Star Wars people, I'm pretty sure. They had a bunch of Doctor Who people, not just David Tennant. I'm trying to think who else. They had directors. I think Spielberg was one of the people that was one of the talking heads on this documentary. It was really good. And it's very quick. It's like 60-minute episodes or less. So I think it'd be an easy watch. An easy afternoon or morning or evening watch. Did you log into your
I don't see it in streaming for Netflix.
Okay. Well, maybe it's on Amazon. Who knows? I'm sure you can track it down some way or another. But that's my pick this week, The Real History of Science Fiction, Episode 3, Invasion. And I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5 flying saucers.
Nice.
Okay, Inessa, what is yours?
It's not on Amazon Prime.
Okay. Well,
so
one of the few benefits of being Canadian, I guess. Except for
technically you're still American.
Yeah, I know. Go ahead.
But anyway, my pick is a short film called Stryka. And the description is very brief, and it says a sci-fi comedy starring Amy Mullins and Rupert Friend about the inner life of a reptile alien thief in futuristic Brooklyn. So I'm trying to think of a good way to describe it without giving anything away. But you have this female alien, I assume female. She's presented in a female way. I don't know if that alien actually has a gender. Named Stryka. And she has a partner in crime. And it seems like it's also a partner in love as well, sort of. That she goes out and she commits these heists. So they try to do like bank robberies and just grab and go type of things. And she's kind of feeling like she wants more, something a little more classy, if that's a thing with robbing people of things. And so she ends up partnering with another person for a bit. And it's just, this alien's having issues with what she wants out of life, which I guess isn't really an alien thing, but it could be for all we know. But what I really dug about the video is that they just didn't assume that the alien could vocalize the English language. When the alien spoke, it was still in their native tongue. It wasn't, done through a translator or anything. So for the part of Stryka, you still had to read the subtitles on the screen. And at one point, they're like, oh, your accent is great, which is funny because you can't really tell the difference. But no, overall, it wasn't bad. I enjoyed it. It wasn't the greatest thing ever, in my opinion. But I would probably give it 3 stars.
Wait a second. Don't you mean flying saucers?
Or flying saucers. Stars, flying saucers, they're both out in space.
That's true. Good point. All right. Is that all you got?
It's a short flick. If I talk any more about it, I'm going to tell you what happens.
Okay. Good point. All right. So in review, we had Stryka. We had The Real History of Science Fiction and Stranger Things. And again, you can check out the links to all of our picks on our show notes at gncasts.com/aliens. All right. What do I want to do? Oh, I want to remind everybody that this is a weekly show, or as weekly as we can get it. And we're going to have a couple episodes in a row this week, this episode and the next week. But then the week after, we're going to take a break because I have some work stuff going on. But then after that, we should be good to go for a long, extended period of time. I just wanted to give everybody a heads up to let them know that we're going to be what the schedule is going to look like for the next month. So, all right. For more on this podcast, including show notes, contact info, and more, go to gncasts.com/aliens. You can subscribe to this podcast by going to gncasts.com/subscribe, or you can search for us anywhere you find podcasts like iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and TuneIn. We're also available on TuneIn Radio. All right, so that's going to do it for this episode of The Alien Invasion. Final thoughts, Brad, you're first.
We saw Star Trek Beyond. It was lovely.
Didn't you mention that last week? Or was that?
I did.
Oh, that was post-show, wasn't it? I don't think we talked about it on the actual show. Okay.
Yes.
All right. We're still trying to get to it. Our schedules have been crazy, but we are going to get to it hopefully in the next week. We're actually going to go to the Star Trek Starfleet Academy exhibit at the Air and Space Museum, which is in very limited, like it's not in many places in the world right now. It's in New York City. It's here. It might be in a couple of different places, but we're going to go next Thursday. And hopefully that will be my pick for Alien Invasion next week. And we're actually going to be there for a book signing. This guy, his name is Andrew Fizakis. He is a writer. He's an astronomer. He writes for National Geographic, and he wrote a book about Star Trek. And his book signing is going to be there next Thursday. So we're pretty excited about that. Anyways, sorry I honed in on your final thought, Brad. Sorry.
Nope, that's okay.
Anessa, what do you got?
Oh, I lost it. Hang on. Sorry, I was just so amused, and then I navigated away from the page, and now I can't get it back, and that makes me kind of sad. But I was looking for The Real History of Science Fiction on Amazon, and this poor individual, they, I guess, tried to purchase the DVD, and they accidentally purchased the wrong region. They purchased region 2 from the Netherlands.
See? Gotta read the fine print.
And now I can't get the review to pop up, but it said something about... Oh, here it is. It says, I bought this to watch, but my Sheen kept saying, are you Sarah Connor? I can't do that, Dave. That just made me so happy.
That is pretty funny. That is very
and so
funny.
They said, so that's how that was. Yeah, that was the review.
I'm glad they...
So make sure when you order a DVD, it's in the correct region and you're able to watch it, or else it may just say, I can't do that, Dave.
All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. Bye.
Okay, bye.
You have been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. For more about this show and others, go to gncasts.com. That's GNCASTS.com.